So I'd like to start just by introducing our three panelists and myself. Again, I'm Kimberly Ariola, and I'm an associate professor in the Department of Behavioral Sciences and Health Education in the Rollins School of Public Health at Emory. I've been involved with implementing multi-site evaluations of HIV testing and linkage programs for about the past 10 years or so. I serve as co-investigator for the Enhancing Linkages Initiative, which is what we'll spend the next hour and a half talking about. Additionally, I teach research methods and health promotion interventions at the master's and doctoral levels. I also have with me Dr. Irshad Shaikh, who has served in southeastern Pennsylvania for over 10 years as health commissioner for the city of Chester and as an evaluator for AIDS Care Group in Pennsylvania. A medical epidemiologist by training, Dr. Shaikh is a faculty member at the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, associated with the Center for Refugee and Disaster Research. Along with leading population-based national health surveys in many developing countries, he has also worked as complex emergency epidemiologist in over 25 countries in projects with the World Bank, CDC, WHO, United Nations. Dr. Shaikh has published in the areas of population-based health research and health assessments, evaluation and operational research in health systems, disaster/crisis management, and injury epidemiology. Also with me this morning is Dr. Chevette T. Williams, who is an assistant professor in epidemiology at the University of Illinois at Chicago School of Public Health. She is also associate director for the Community Outreach Intervention Projects within the school, which serves low-income communities with high prevalence of HIV risk, addiction, and incarceration. Dr. Williams is active with the UIC AIDS International Training and Research Program and the Chicago Developmental CFAR. She teaches social epidemiology and social network applications to public health. Finally, with me is my colleague, Ms. Christina Booker, who is an associate scientist in the Domestic Health Division at Apt Associates. She has been conducting HIV-related program evaluation and research for 13 years now, including evaluations of interventions for inmates and visitors at San Quentin State Prison in California. Ms. Booker has evaluated other demonstration projects to enhance access to care and prevention for HIV-positive individuals. She currently serves as project director and technical assistance liaison for the Enhancing Linkages Initiative. And we will proceed with the program as printed. So I'm going to start this session by giving kind of a broad overview of the problem of HIV in jail settings. The title of my talk is Enhance Link, HIV Testing and Linkage Successes. I have no relationships to disclose. Just very quickly, I'd like to acknowledge a long list of collaborators, including Dr. Ann Spaulding, who was principal investigator for the Evaluation and Support Center. So what I'll do in my short time here is just give you a very brief introduction to the problem of HIV in jail settings. I'll talk about the importance of testing in this setting, but also the challenges of testing in this setting from a variety of different perspectives. And then I'll spend the majority of the time kind of focusing on the Enhancing Linkages Initiative by describing the project and presenting some program summary data. So just very quickly, some people may not know that a jail, when we refer to jails, we're talking about city and county jails in which individuals are housed who are awaiting trial, undergoing trial, or have very short sentences, typically of 1 year or less. So we're explicitly not talking about people who typically are convicted of a crime. And when we talk about jails, the jail population typically includes a large proportion of males, as you can see here. They tend to be communities of color. You can see that about 55% of the jail inmate population are Black and Hispanic, and that you can see that the highest education level tends to be high school or less than high school, and that they tend to be never married. At the same time, the HIV prevalence rate in jail settings is much higher than what we see in the general population. In fact, it's about 3.25 times higher than what we see in the general population. It's not distributed evenly by race. You can see that Black and Latino inmates are disproportionately impacted. And then you can also see, perhaps surprisingly for some people, that women have an HIV prevalence rate in jail settings. It's about twice that of males. And then you can also see an age gradient such that older inmates have a much higher prevalence of HIV in jail settings than younger inmates. And so we see that HIV is highly prevalent in jail settings, and many people kind of have this knee-jerk reaction to think that in jail settings that's where the transmission occurs, and in reality that's not the case. There are these shared risk factors, so kind of the things that contribute to being incarcerated are in all likelihood the same things that contribute to contracting HIV. So they're very clear demographic patterns where communities of color and low-income people are disproportionately impacted by both HIV and being incarcerated. There are behavioral factors that link the two. Psychological trauma is clearly linking the two. And my real strong sense is that the social and economic factors really form the foundation of why HIV and jail confinement are so strongly related. I think that poverty and racism and unemployment really create an environment that contributes to both the likelihood of jail incarceration and contracting HIV. So for these reasons, many people have argued that jails offer an ideal opportunity for HIV testing. Many of the people who are in jails lack access to HIV/AIDS services in the community. So many people argue that jail is a great opportunity to identify new infections, treat the new infections while the inmate is incarcerated, and then link them up to care once they're released to the community. Many argue that the physical confinement of jail offers fewer distractions. Certainly, we could debate that, but certainly different distractions than what one might experience in the community. But at the same time, jails touch a lot of people. About 13 million people annually are admitted to the United States city and county jails, and they have an extremely high turnover rate. So people are admitted and in large part going right back out to the community. Having said that, there are huge barriers to testing in jail settings. Anybody who's ever been in a jail understands that it's a very fast-moving environment where people come in and they're released oftentimes very quickly with very little predictability. What we talk about most common is kind of the competing missions of jail and public health as being probably the single greatest barrier. So the public health mission of preserving the health of the public oftentimes just really conflicts with jail missions to ensure the safety and security of inmates, visitors, and staff. There are also inmate-related barriers, concerns about confidentiality, which are very legitimate in a closed setting like a jail, feelings that I'm about to get out, so why should I worry with something like this? Competing priorities, being more concerned with getting released than wanting to know about potentially having a highly stigmatized chronic disease, and certainly denial. And in public health, we certainly have barriers related to cost and access to facilities. With this in mind, an effective HIV testing program in a jail setting would offer testing inside a jail that is sensitive to the barriers that I just talked about, and particularly be very sensitive around issues of confidentiality, assuring people that kind of their business won't be spread all over the facility. So it would be sensitive to the environmental logistical constraints around movement, when testing can occur in a manner that doesn't interfere with normal jail operations. You would offer medical care inside the jail once those are identified as positive. You would establish linkages with community medical providers and plan for post-release care so that when a person who just found out they're positive and was started up with care inside isn't released to the community and kind of saying, so now what? And then ideally, you would want to follow clients post-release to determine whether linkages were made and to determine whether additional linkages need to be made. It's with these basic concepts that I just shared with you the HRSA Enhanced Link Initiative was born. So the formal title is Enhancing Linkages to HIV Primary Care and Services in Jail Settings. It's funded by the HRSA HIV/AIDS Bureau, and sometimes I'll revert to calling it the SPINS project because it's the Special Projects of National Significance. So 10 demonstration sites were funded in September 2007 to develop innovative methods for care and treatment for HIV-positive individuals in jail settings who are returning to the communities. So the 10 demonstration sites, their major programmatic activities fall into these kind of two general camps. One is HIV screening and diagnosis, and the other is the continuity of care program. So with their HIV screening, they're demonstrating the feasibility of rapid testing and other methods for HIV detection. And what's really nice about this initiative is that the grantees were able to use this initiative when funded to complement existing services in their collaborating jail facilities. So in some places, they already had HIV testing going on, and so they were able to use this initiative to do something new and different about how they were able to do HIV testing. Whereas in other facilities, there was no HIV testing going on until this initiative came around. So they also are implementing continuity of care programs so that once people are identified as positive, they're linked up to care in the jail and connected with services in the community for a range of services that the inmate may need. So doing needs assessments and developing discharge plans, providing post-release case management, and either referring or directly linking clients to not only just HIV care, but representing, recognizing that HIV care may not be the client's biggest need once released, right? So substance abuse treatment oftentimes is. Housing oftentimes is. HIV prevention services, mental health treatment services are all important aspects of this initiative, with the ultimate goal of transitioning clients to existing Ryan White case management services. There were 10 sites funded. With me here today is AIDS Care Group from Chester, Pennsylvania, and University of Illinois Chicago School of Public Health. This is just a very quick graphic of where the 10 sites are located. So, what's nice is that all of the programs are implementing HIV testing services, but it's a little bit more complicated than that. They're doing it in different ways, in different contexts, in different times of the inmate stay. So, and then the other thing is that within a particular demonstration site, they could be testing in a variety of different ways. So the demonstration sites are doing testing in different ways, and even within a site, they're using multiple ways to actually approach people for HIV testing. So in large part, it's occurring at intake or orientation, right? So as soon as people are brought into the jail, a nurse or HIV testing staff offers HIV testing. In some cases, they do HIV prevention education, and at the end of that kind of group education session might be the offer to engage in HIV testing. In some places, they go around to the general population pods. They also offer referrals to HIV testing during routine healthcare encounters, which could occur 3 to 7 days after entrance. And then also at any time, an inmate can use an HIV testing request form to request testing. At the same time, there's great variability in their continuity of care programs. The 10 demonstration sites vary in their emphasis. One site you'll hear Dr. Williams talk about, they're focused on women in Chicago. Another site really focuses on the linkage to community-based mental health services by having a dually placed mental health service provider, a service provider that comes in the facility and works with the inmate while in jail and also outside once released. There are very distinct program features across the 10 sites. Some are able to provide transportation, some it's staunchly prohibited. You know, so best case scenario, transportation would be provided from the point of release to whatever substance abuse or housing placement occurs. So there's a lot of variability in how they do what they do. So they were funded in 2007. In 2006, the Multi-Site Evaluation Center was funded. And that is a grant that was a contract afforded to the Rollins School of Public Health in collaboration with Apt Associates. Our charge is to oversee the implementation of a multi-site evaluation, which is through the use of the development of shared instruments and data collection methodology. Using a web-based data repository, we are collecting program level, client level, and cost data. And I'm going to present just a very quick little snippet of some program level data, and then Christina Booker will come talk more about client level data. So at the program level, what I'll do just very quickly is talk about how many clients could have been offered HIV testing, how many clients actually underwent testing, how many clients were enrolled in the linkage program, and how many were started on highly active antiretroviral therapy. I'm going to present data for the 1 year period starting July 1st, 2009, using our quarterly program summary data. So one thing to keep in mind is when I talk about enhanced link HIV testing, or again, I'll revert to calling it SPINS testing sometimes, in most sites that exist in the context of some other HIV testing, so other HIV testing that's funded through other means. And so there are 5 sites that offer SPINS-funded or enhanced link HIV testing, and these are the numbers that you see, and I'm going to walk through these just very quickly. So the other 5 sites are in all likelihood offering HIV testing through other funding mechanisms, okay? So that's why there's not all 10 sites here. So what you can see in just the 5 sites that were offering enhanced link testing, about a fifth of them were offered testing, about half of those who were offered accepted and were actually tested, and almost all of them received the results, which is quite remarkable in a fast-moving jail environment, in all honesty. In the olden days before rapid testing, having to wait a week for results just would not work in a jail environment. But in large part, they're getting people results because they're doing rapid testing. 47 received positive results, and 15 of those were first-time positives. Let me make one other quick comment, which is that to get access to the linkage programs, HIV testing is just one vehicle. So a person could come in and self-identify as being HIV positive and then get offered the linkage program. It could be that medical staff has seen the person before and knows that they're positive and they don't need to test them, and they're going to connect them with the linkage program. So HIV testing is just one vehicle through which clients kind of get funneled into the linkage program. And then all detainees includes the new entrants. Thank you. It includes the new entrants. And so about 16,000 were offered, about half of those accepted and were tested. And then as you can see, the received results was almost all of those who were actually tested. And 58 had positive results, and 24 of those were first-time positives. And then finally, so over this one-year period, 7,600 people were known to be HIV positive at some point during that reporting period. And about half of those were offered the linkage program as new entrants, and about 84% of those actually enrolled. And among existing detainees, so now I'm talking about a mutually exclusive group of people, existing detainees, so people who are, you could say, languishing in the cells, about a fifth of those were offered the program, and 91 or 6% were enrolled. There are many challenges to implementing a multi-site evaluation related to just getting data that does not represent duplicate counts. Most jails count admissions, not people, right? And from their perspective, it makes great sense, but from our perspective, it's kind of hard. And so most of the data that our grantees get are admissions, not people. So certainly, given that people cycle in and out of jails quickly, that contributes to duplicate counts. But in conclusion, what I would just say is that I think it's notable that about half of those who offered HIV testing accepted it, which says to me that the grantees have really learned how to implement HIV testing programs in a way that really maximizes uptake with great sensitivity. About 70% of those known to be positive are offered the Enhanced Link program, which again is in the context of a fast-moving jail environment where people could be identified as positive and released before you have a chance to even offer them the program. Some individuals are not expected to return to the community and are perhaps going up to prison, so wouldn't be offered the linkage program. So you would never expect that to be 100%. And a quarter of those clients who are enrolled are started on HART during the reported period, and that's just during that one quarter reporting period. They could have been started on HART at a later point. So I think that in general, this project has done a really nice job of kind of starting to demonstrate the feasibility of implementing HIV testing and linkage programs in jail settings. Thank you. So what we'll do, what I'd like to do is, why don't we take about 2 minutes for questions because we're running just a couple minutes behind. If there are any burning questions or clarifying questions, I'm happy to answer those over the next couple of minutes, and then we'll also have a general Q&A at the very end of the session.
Any of the changes that were made to those testing strategies, did they continue on after the duration of the project, or did they return to their regular testing?
So the project is still going on. The project started in 2007. It's a great question. I probably should have mentioned. It started in 2007. They were initially funded for 4 years, but may have an additional fifth year. So they're really still just trying to kind of, they've kind of got a really good testing protocols that they're really comfortably implementing now. But the question is, once the initiative ends, huge. But the good thing is we've already started to talk about that and try to think about ways to ensure sustainability. Thank you for that.
Just wondering about the low, or it seems to be low acceptability of testing.
Low acceptability of testing?
Yeah. It looked like there was about 55%.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a clinician who works in the District of Columbia. We do universal.
Yeah, you all are the model.
And we have about 98% accept testing. So
no, I think that's a great question, and I think that what that comes from is existing policies at the jails. So I think in culture, so some of our grantees, like Rhode Island, are coming from situations where it's expected that you will be tested. So the culture is that you would be accepted, and then people are just kind of opting out. Our grantees vary greatly in their policies around this, from kind of the opt-out that I just talked about to just offering it to people. And so I think you raise a great question, because what it's getting at, I think, is the idea that in some sites it's probably as high as 80 to 90%, and in some sites it's really, really low. And so anytime you collapse across 10 sites of data, you kind of are going to land in the middle. And I think that that's exactly what you're seeing. But what your point is a good one, which is getting at this idea of what are their policies and how do their policies really contribute. But again, you guys are the model. We've actually come to tour your jail and see how you all do it.